So, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. And we're going to show you a
Alpine repeater 146.955. 141.3 PL, the K2 ETN machine. I'm 18 miles southwest of you. My and Yagi beams are pointed actually in the wrong direction, but you're so close it doesn't matter. And I also pick up your machine from my house down in Brick, New Jersey, exit 88 of the Garden State Parkway, 63 miles south, very slightly southwest of you. You got a real powerhouse machine there, good high elevation. So this is KC2FDS, Ed, checking in.
Hey, Ed, very good. A nice signal from Bloomfield. And welcome aboard. How are you? And the other checking. Any other check-ins for the net?
KC2OSR.
As in, like, OTRS, not reservation. I know W2OSR, who has that call for that exact reason. Very good. KC2OSR, your name, and do you have a question or comment for the net?
My name is Sam Simon Adam Mary, and I'm in Chatham, New Jersey, 25 miles west of New York City, and probably 32 miles south of you guys. You're coming in dead quiet in here to Chatham, and I was just scanning along, and I heard you guys, so I thought I'd jump in. Back to net, KC2OSR.
Okay, very good. Welcome aboard, Sam. Any other stations to check in? Okay, well, just for reference, I normally have a slightly better signal than this, so I apologize. But and I will later in the net. But in the meantime, this is the technical net for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. All radio amateurs who are licensed to operate on 2 meters can participate. We, in fact, we encourage you to, whether or not you have a question or a comment. So I appreciate your check-in tonight. We have a couple of comments. I know that we want to get, so let's get the one announcement, I think, that we want to get moving here first, and then we'll go to the questions. W2JEK, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, and then that is W2JEK. The Bergen Amateur Radio Association will be holding a test session tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School, which is actually in the township of Washington, on 701 Ridgewood Road. The time will be, is again, 7 p.m. And we're giving all tests, the tech, the general, and the extra. And if you are coming, please bring some form of a picture ID, like a driver's license or a passport, or test fees, $15. And if you have a license, please bring your current license and a photocopy of that license. And you can bring a calculator that we cannot use. It has to be a calculator. It can't be a cell phone or some other device. It has to be a calculator that we can make sure there's nothing stored in the memory that shouldn't be there. So that's about it. Now, back to net. This is W2JEK. If anybody has a question, just ask. W2JEK, back to net.
Okay, and tomorrow night's test session is open for all licensed classes or people who are trying to either get a license or upgrade. So if you're interested, come by Westwood High School in Washington Township tomorrow at 7.
JK with a comment,
Bob?
JK with a comment?
Go right ahead, Tom.
I might remind anybody that's studying for the general class license that the question pool will change as of July 1st. So if you're studying the current question pool material, you have to get it to a test session by the end of June. Because on July 1st, there'll be all new questions. You have to start with a whole new set of questions to study guide. Back to net, W2JEK.
Yes, any follow-ups for Don? Well, Don, you and I both know KC2BBU is planning to come to a test session you're also doing 2 weeks from now in Bergenfield on Friday night, the week after Easter. So it's not next week, it's the week after. and we hope that people will come to that if they don't cut it this week or not ready this week. And I can send out the email for either one, either test session. The Barron website will have tomorrow night's test session posted, I believe. So feel free to check back, and email me at www.TTT@ARRL.net, and I'm more than happy to get you hooked up to a test session. Before we go on, any further check-ins that are technical on that? Alrighty. Very good. So our next KC2ZRG. Mr. Rick has a question. K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2, Zed Romeo Golf. The name is Rick. I have two questions. One, while the repeater is broadcasting its ID tone, is it common courtesy to stop talking, or can you continue to talk? How do you handle that when you're having a conversation? Second question, what is the term referred to when someone says, drop the carrier, make sure you are not doubling up? What does that mean? Back to net.
Okay, so I'm transmitting now, and I may be concerned that I'm doubling with somebody, so I'm going to unkey. Listen to see if I get a clean beat without anybody else transmitting. And if that's true, then I'll continue to transmit such as I am right now. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Now I understand. Just listen for the tone to come back to you, and that way you know you've got a clear signal. That makes perfect sense. That's it.
Right. And every repeater is programmed a little differently. Some repeaters will not let you talk over their ID, or they actually mute the audio through the repeater. Others, if they have a voice ID, will go to CW ID, and that will reduce the amplitude and allow the conversation to continue over it. Realistically, if you happen to hear an ID, you might want to just wait for it. It's always good to give people a chance to jump in and make a transmission. So that would be my suggestion. Anybody else have any thoughts? Please call K2BAR.
2JK.
Don, go right ahead.
Yeah, Rick, sometimes the ID comes on and while you're talking with you, you don't even know it's there. And sometimes if you have a weak signal, it'll wipe you out, depending on how strong you are into the machine. But that's something you just can't do. It's just something you have to deal with. And you might not even know it was there unless somebody tells you that the something you said was wiped out by the ID. That happens sometimes. It depends on the repeater and how far away you are from it and all that. Back to that, W2JK.
That seems to pretty much clear it up. I've heard that a number of times, and I just don't know how to properly handle it. So this is K2Zed Romeo Golf. I'm going to hand it back to you next. Thank you.
I've said from the time I got my ham license onward, the best way to become a ham is to already be one. It sounds absurd, but until you have a way to get on the air and talk with people, it's really, really hard to figure out what you should be doing and how you should be doing it. But anyway, there you go. Well, that's excellent. Any other check-ins for the Fire Technical Net? Please call K2BAR. All righty. Marco, I have you down for a question. Did I get that wrong? K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2ZMA. Yeah, I have a question.
Do it.
K2BAR, this is KC2ZMA. I have a repeated question myself. I've heard people talking about the Franklin Lakes FM Association backup repeater. That's on 146.790. I believe it's on that frequency also. And I know that actually the FM Association repeater in Paramus has a PO code of 141.30, but the one in Franklin Lakes has 162.2. Now, since the frequency is on the same 146.790, if you put the PL code of 162.2, is that interfering, or are you actually using a different frequency? How I'm a little confused on the same frequency of 146.790, the FM Association repeater, how there's two PL codes even though the other one's a backup. Or is it a different frequency? I don't know if I'm explaining it correctly. Give it back to you. That's a great question. Okay. There are two separate repeaters. One uses one tone to turn it on, one uses another tone. Generally speaking, the transmitters can be heard in the same places. It's the receivers that make the real difference. So what they've done is a user will use either one or the other. Technically, could someone get near one repeater and transmit one tone and get near the other repeater and transmit the other tone? And would they both come up at the same time? Sure. Would they interfere? Absolutely. But most of the time, the users don't do that because they hear the output of the other one. Both outputs are on the same frequency as are the inputs, but they just have a beast of a signal, so that you'll hear it either way on the output, no matter which input they're coming through. In point of fact, if you're on an HD and you're up 208, you would be better off using the 162.2 PL, even if you're talking to someone who's using the Paramus machine. And you'll hear the Paramus machine when they come up, and they'll hear the Franklin Lakes machine when that comes up, in most cases. I mean, there might be some corner cases where you really need to be on the same machine, but it really is more of a receiver selection, although it has the implication in this case of having a transmitter selection as well. But it's just fine. Anybody else have any comments for Marco? Let's call K2BAR.
This is W2JEK. I have a question that goes along with what Marco's talking about, what you're talking about, Gordon. I mean, Grant, you're speaking about both these repeaters being on at the same time. Now, usually they shut the one down for, I know, like during the races net, they were shutting. They were using the simplex frequency over there at the Pines and Paramus, and they would shut down the Paramus 7.9 machine and use the Franklin Lakes machine. See, that's another thing too. Maybe Margaret doesn't realize that the one machine is the backup machine's out in Franklin Lakes, and the regular machine is in Paramus. And usually they don't have them running at the same time. At least I think that's the way the setup is. Maybe somebody can clarify that for me. Back to that W2JK.
Yeah, that's the way it is. And the users can now select either repeater without any problem. There is one other thing that you have to think in mind, or keep in mind. If you're listening on Paramus, a lot of people will put PL decode in their radios. And that means they will listen for 141.3. That will not work on the one on the Franklin Lakes machine, because I don't think it transmits PL, or if it does, it transmits the 162.2, which would necessitate another memory. So the best way to handle that is just to not use PL decode, but just have two memories with PL encode, and just use the one that's closest to you, or if you're sketchy in the one, switch to the other, as it were. That would be the best way to describe it. Does that help, Doc?
I got you, yeah. Okay, thank you. W2JK.
Okay, Marco, does that answer your question?
So it's basically if you're using the, if someone's using a different PL tone, the 141.3 in Paramus, let's say you're talking to somebody that's using 162.2 PL, in theory, can you actually, if someone's using different PL tones, you actually talk back and forth, or you're not going to hear the other person? Back to you. This is KC2ZMA.
As long as you're not doing PLD code on your transceiver, you'll hear them most of the time, no matter which repeater they go through. So you'll hear the one you're going through, which might be the Franklin Lakes machine on 162.2 tone, and as well as when they come transmitting through Paramus on with a 141.3. Because the frequency of operation is the same. You can't have two transmitters on in the same footprint. It doesn't work well.
Okay, I got it now. I got you. Okay, that clarified it a little bit. I've never used the 162.2 PL, but I've heard people talk about it over the radio. That clarified to me. Most of the time, I just use the Paramus one, but at certain times, the Paramus one in the morning or especially when it rains, it kind of freaks out a little bit, and if I'm too far away, I can't hit the repeater even on 75 watts. So even if I do, it's very noisy, and it just doesn't come through that well. But most of the times I use basically 100% of the time I use the 141.3 PL tone. But I got it now. This is KC2ZMA back to K2BAR.
Hey, very good, KC2ZMA, W2TTT. Anybody want to add to that?
K2BAR, this is KC2, Ned Romeo Golf with another question on that.
Sure, go ahead, Rick.
The question I have is, on my mobile rig, it has just one setting and you set the PL tone. It doesn't specify whether it's for transmitting or receiving, but I picked up one of those Ocean radios and it has two separate spaces and you can actually set different PL tones, one for transmitting on 141 and one you could specify receiving on 162. What is the norm? I was under the assumption it was both coming and going regardless. I didn't think there was any reason for specifying one being different. Back to Ned.
Well, if you... let me make sure I have it here on. Okay. If circumstances so require, you would use one tone or the other to activate the repeater. Am I missing something here?
So the PL tone is just an initial tone to get in and activate that repeater. It's not like a privacy line that's continuous throughout the part of the conversation. I guess what I'm asking is, at what point during the broadcast is your PL tone actually being used? Is it just getting into the repeater, or is it something that continuously needs to come and go throughout the entire conversation to maintain an active link in and out of the repeater? Back to that.
Yeah. It's used continuously to open the repeater. It's not like a burst at the beginning. It's a continuous transmission. It's called subaudible tone, and it basically it's a low-frequency hum that's on a particular frequency and used to open the squelch gate of the receiver and turn on the transmitter of the repeater.
Okay, that seems to clear it up. It was odd to get this radio, and there was a lot of uncertainty about it, and when I did see it, it had two separate channels, one for transmit, and you set the PL tone on that, and you also set the PL tone on the receive. And I hadn't seen anything like that, and it was a little confusing, and I wasn't exactly sure how to set that up, but that does clear up some of the questions. Thank you very much. No further questions. Back to Ned. AC2, Zed Romeo Golf.
Okay, very good. Any other check-ins for the net, please call KTBA.
KO2, okay. Good evening, Gordon. Bennett here. No question.
Good evening, Bennett. Good to have you around. All right, anybody else? Question and comment or fan dance or extemporaneous diatribe, soliloquy, etc. is from N2OEL. No L. Great to hear you, and I'm glad you weren't working on overtime tonight. K2BAR.
Okay, I got an easy one for you today. It concerns the L, as in Larry, band. One of my friends sent me an announcement, which I just forwarded to you, by the way, that announced a 1 kilowatt L-band amplifier. So my reply to him was, wonderful. Now you can have a police radar that not only tells your speed, but can cook the driver's eyeballs. Perhaps I was a little bit too hasty. Does it have any legitimate amateur use?
Sure. You can make it a hell of a CW transmitter. Make an FM transmitter out of it. If it's truly pulse radar, you're going to have to scale the power output back, but because the duty cycle may be a constraining thing there, I would think. Over.
Well, take a look at the email that I just sent you and make your own decision. Send to OEL.
That. Just give me a second here. Let me take a quick look. All right, so this is pulse service by definition. It's going to be pulse service. So, but yeah, you probably can run this highly derated continuous carrier, and it would be just fine. Over.
Yes, but is there any amateur frequencies in the L-band?
Oh, yeah. L-band is 1,200 megs, basically. I don't know if you heard that. But L-band is essentially 1,296, basically.
Sounds good. By the way, you're still off a week. It's like you're using an HD in your basement. I, of course, have a lousy J-Paul in the attic, but I'm running 55 watts, so it's probably melting it. N2OEL.
You're accurate. I'm using an HT in my dining room. Anybody else have any comments about L-band 1296, repurposing radar stuff, etc.? Alrighty. Well, there's your answer. I got a couple of points. I used to have, you've all seen 4CX250s or 4CX300s, which is the bayonet type instead of the pin type of base. And it's got that big round collar at the cooling fin for forced air to blow through. Well, I had a 3CN15, which is probably a 4CN15. It was a tetrode that only had 15 watts of dissipation, not 300 or 250 like the last number in the nomenclature tells you it is. So as a consequence of that, someone built up a custom-made heat sink around the thing. It was a little bit bigger than a 4CX300, and they ended up having like 450-500 watts of dissipation. And it was outstanding to say the least, and had a lot of, I had a pair of those on 2 meters, and it was just unbelievably cool. And so that's another approach. But the original tube was designed for pulsed service. It was 15 watts of dissipation continuous carrier, but it could probably give you a kilowatt pulse, no problem, without any trouble at all. So once we wrap the big fat heat sink around it, we don't have to worry about pulsing the power. We could get hundreds and hundreds of watts in and out of it, no problem. N2OEL, but we get 2 TTT, TTBAR.
Nothing else, N2OEL.
Anybody else have any comments on the subject? Alrighty. Well, there you go. I guess that's it for tonight. Just a reminder, we're running a ham radio licensing class on Friday the 29th. Thursday, probably the Friday after Easter, and Don and his merry band of Barrett Esters will be there to test in Bergenfield. If anyone's interested in that course, please call or just email me, actually, at w2ttt@avonworld.net. If you're interested in tomorrow night's test session, the Barra test session in Westwood High School in Washington Township, go to the Barra.org, B-A-R-A.org, and just go follow the links for the test session. And basically, we'll hope to see you tomorrow morning for coffee at the mall if you can. I am going to be at a funeral. KC2VBR lost his grandma this past week, and so we have a funeral and a wake to go to this weekend. So that's pretty much our deal. So anybody else have any final things for the net, please call KTBAR. I want to thank everybody for joining the net, and we'll see you soon, and Godspeed. One other thing real quick before I go, I'm sorry. I wanted to mention MTM case guards, those orange boxes or green or black, whatever you want to get, boxes that we use, dry boxes for various pieces of radio equipment. We found out that today that when you call them and ask them for a replacement part for something that was broken, they send you an entire new box. And I was dumbfounded. These are $30, $40 boxes. They sent me a new one. And they paid for the shipping. I was dumbfounded. Great company, great service, and great products. So if anyone wants to know more about that, they can see me and know I don't have a commercial interest in them. Anyway, 7-3. This is W2TTT, K2BAR, the voice of the Vernon Amateur Radio Association, saying 7-3 and Godspeed.